There's nothing sadder in this world than for someone to miss Jesus. I mean, look, when you miss God, you miss it all. And in fact, it's not just lost people who miss the Lord. You see, when a person rejects Christ as their personal Savior, they miss the Lord for all eternity. But did you know it's possible for believers to miss the Lord? That God could be at work in your life today and you could miss it? That right at hand, Jesus passes by. And we miss what the Lord is doing. One example of that in the Old Testament is found in this little book of Haggai that we're studying. And we've looked very carefully already at this powerful admonition to consider your ways. I want to remind you of that. God wants us to stop. He wants us to examine our hearts. No, He wants us to let Him examine our hearts. And one of the things you'll find when you begin to examine your own heart is that we are so busy, so distracted, at times so filled with our own ideas that we miss what the Lord is doing. Haggai chapter 2, verse 1 begins this way. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, what is he talking to them about? Well, you'll remember that the people of God have come back into the land. They have now begun to rebuild the temple. Finally, they're building God's house. That's a very good thing. But the first temple, Solomon's temple, the temple that the old men remembered with all of its splendor and all of its beauty, all of that was gone now. And the new temple, frankly, in comparison in their minds, seemed like nothing. As a matter of fact, the Lord even says that that was their comparison of it. He said, Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? In other words, imagine a bunch of people standing around looking at the second temple and saying, This is nothing like the good old days. Sound familiar? This is nothing like it used to be. You know, I'm afraid too often we limit God. We limit Him to the past when God is a present tense God. We limit Him to some other place or time when God wants to work right where we are. And so the Lord says a shocking thing to them. He says that this temple is going to be a greater temple than the first temple. Now, how on earth is that possible? Well, you have to come to the New Testament to get the rest of the story. Remember, the Old Testament and New Testament work together, not as completers, but as completers. When you come to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 2 and verse number 21, a man and his wife named Joseph and Mary are going to walk into a temple. They have in their arms a beautiful baby boy that is coming into the temple to be presented to the Lord, just like the Jewish custom was. Now, this happened every day. This happened with all Jewish families, but this day was different. And this child was different because in Luke chapter 2, the one being presented in the temple was not just Mary's son, it was God's son. Think of this. This temple, the second temple, is the temple that God Himself, robed in flesh, would be brought into. If you continue through the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to find that frequently He visits that same temple. In fact, on two different occasions, one recorded for us in John chapter 2 and the other in Matthew chapter 21, The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, will go into this very same temple and he will cleanse the temple. Do you remember him driving out the money changers? And what did he say? He said, "My Father's house is to be a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves." In other words, this is the temple that the Lord Jesus Christ will not only be in, this is the temple that he will minister in. This is the temple he will teach in. This is the temple he will purge. This is the temple that God himself will walk into. Do you understand now why I said to you a moment ago, don't miss God, don't miss Jesus? You see, it's possible that sometimes we can miss what the Lord is doing right in front of us. I tell you, if you miss Jesus, you miss God, and you miss all that God has for you, all that the Lord wants to do in your temple. Remember, in the New Testament, the temple is not a building, it's our body. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ lives inside of you. I would say that the same thing he was trying to do in John 2 and Matthew 21, he's trying to do in all of us today. He's trying to purge our temple. He's trying to drive out every fleshly, worldly, temporal thing that defiles and make our temple a house of prayer. Is your temple a house of prayer today? Is your heart where the Lord Jesus lives, is it sanctified? Is it set apart? Is it given to God? That's what the Lord Jesus is trying to do in all of us. And frankly, sometimes we get so enamored by the physical things around us, by this material world, by the temporal things that we live our lives for, that we miss Jesus and we miss what he's trying to do in all of us. You'll remember in John chapter 1, the Bible says that he came unto his own and his own received him not. That's a reference to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus came to this world and they missed him. They didn't recognize who he was. As a matter of fact, I think one of the saddest things in all of Scripture is that his own hometown. You remember Nazareth? The Bible says that Jesus could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. His own hometown missed Jesus. He had to leave there and go to other places. I want to say for my own sake today and for my own self today, I don't want to miss what the Lord wants to do in my life. I don't want the Lord to have to move on to someone else because I wouldn't let him be thorough in me. You see, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior today, you're not just missing heaven, you're missing him. And when he comes the second time, so many people are going to miss him because they don't know him as their personal Savior. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, my word to you today is this: don't miss Jesus. Put your faith in Christ and Christ alone for your soul's salvation. Call upon him now. Say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He promises to hear that prayer, to forgive your sin, to come into your life. Dear sinner friend, don't miss Jesus. But I want to say to every fellow believer today, don't miss Jesus. You may know him as your Savior, but I tell you, that's just the beginning of his work. He has so much more he wants to do in your temple, in your life. There are things today he wants to speak to you about, things he wants to purge from your life. Let the Lord do his thorough work in you, in your heart, in your mind, in your family, on your job, at your school. Today, don't miss Jesus.